Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
When you get into worship, you don't ask God for anything. You worship Him for who He is, because God is still big. What you say doesn't change Him. It rather changes your thinking of who you think you are. Then you realize that you have a Father who is bigger than the issues that confront you.
In this week's message, Pastor Neil offers an insightful journey through the book of 1 John. He begins with an overview of the book, detailing how the Apostle John aimed to address problems that arose in the early church, such as the diminishing sense of spiritual freshness, false doctrines, heresies, and confusion regarding sin, obedience, and the Christian community. At the heart of 1 John is a call to fellowship with God. Pastor Neil teaches that intimacy builds spiritual capacity, and capacity leads to authority in our walk with God. This kind of intimacy doesn't happen by accident. It requires intentional cultivation through spiritual disciplines. To build that intimacy, Pastor Neil encourages us to spend time with God through prayer and worship, obey His word and stay open to His guidance, live righteously with honesty and purity. Growing closer to God helps us connect more deeply with Him and live out our faith with purpose and power. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, a study of 1 John, intimacy with God.
Our study from the book of 1 John will be titled, Intimacy with God. All right. But when you read the book of 1 John, you never see the word intimacy. You rather see another word, synonymous word, called fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship and intimacy are closely related, but they are not the same. I brought the word intimacy into the equation because John uses the term fellowship, but in the context of intimacy. The way he says it is not just the ordinary kind of fellowship. It is intimacy. Fellowship can be used for a broader group of people, but intimacy is always on a personal what? Level. It is between you. You can have fellowship, but you may not be intimate in the fellowship. But anybody who has intimacy, they broaden fellowship. I'm laying a foundation because I want you to understand this. Why am I talking about intimacy? We want to take a moment to define it. The word fellowship, which we find in the book of 1 John, means oneness, joint partnership, shared life, close relationship. It also means intimacy. However, intimacy, on the other hand, means to know someone passionately, to be with them, and to experience them. That is why you would find out that John talks about, I want you to come and have fellowship with Him, with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus. By the context in which he speaks about it, he's not talking about the broader sense of fellowship. He's talking about intimacy. So, open your Bibles and look there with me. The first three verses, he says, that which was from the beginning, I'm reading 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen. Notice he's repeating again. What we have heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, collectively, he says, it is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. The concept of fellowship, when it entails intimacy, is so crucial and important to our Christian walk. The problem is that most believers do not really understand it. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, if you read from verses 14, Paul says, I am praying for you that Christ may dwell in your heart. That's intimacy. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, the person who has had intimate contact with him, he is able to do what? So God is able to do according to what? The level of intimacy that you have with him. Are you guys following me? I want to illustrate something to you. I have here in the tub water. If this water in the tub represents the authority that God has given to every believer on earth, have you noticed that the average Christian, the authority they have is always controlled by their circumstances and it's not them controlling the circumstance? Have you found that out? The whole book of John is saying, come have intimate fellowship with the Father, because when that happens, you will have authority over your circumstances, not the other way around. A story is told of a little girl who was yelling in the middle of the yard because there was a little dog that was chasing after the kid. So the grandfather went out just to find out what was happening to the granddaughter, screaming and yelling all around the backyard. And when he got there, he realized that the dog was kind of barking at a little kid. So the grandfather just picked up the granddaughter in his arms. And as soon as he was done, the dog was still barking. So the little girl looks to the face of the grandfather and then looks to the dog, looks to the grandfather, looks to the dog and said, nah, 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 nah. Before then, she couldn't do it. But the intimacy with the grandfather had given her enough boldness that the very fight she couldn't pick the first time, she is ready to pick it. Many believers are not having intimacy with the Father. So we have become wimps. And the little dog called Satan and demons and their cohorts are after you and you are afraid of them. But if you will learn to have intimacy with the Father, you can also learn to that dog. You can look at your circumstances and say, don't worry. What I want you to see is that had the circumstances of this little girl changed? Has it changed? Has her circumstances changed? The dog is still where it is. And it's still doing. But now she's able to roar back because she is in the arms of Grandpa. The problem is you want to live your Christian life alone. That's why you are struggling. But if you learn to have intimate times, and whenever we talk about intimacy, it is not just Bible reading and prayer when you're asking God. It is the one we just did. I intentionally did it for you to see it. When you get into worship, you don't ask God for anything. You worship him for who he is. Because God is still big. What you say doesn't change him. It rather changes your thinking of who you think you are. Then you realize that you have a Father who is bigger than the issues that confront you. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, my intimacy brings me to a place of authority. However, there is something in between. My intimacy increases my capacity because God is able to do according to. He can do more than the capacity. If you look at all the brothers and the sisters here this morning, can you show your cups? You realize that everybody has a different what? Everybody has a different, and they represent different capacities. For the sake of illustration, let's assume that your worship has produced this capacity. Your intimate time with the Father has produced all this. But God has made enough water available. You can only get what your capacity. Did you understand what I just said? So let's go get water. Everybody get water. You see how big this thing is? He even put it in. He decided it won't be full. That's how much he could get. That's how much she could get. That's how much she could get. So the more I spend time with God and have intimacy with him, my capacity, look at this one. This one is big. My capacity begins to what? Increase and increase. And as my capacity increases, my ability to look at Satan and say, I'm able to do it. Even though my circumstances may not have changed, I am still able to face whatever that comes to me. Are you understanding where we're at? This is what John was writing about. That I want you to have intimate fellowship. Not just fellowship, but fellowship that is intimate. Where you become vulnerable. Where God knows about your issues. Where you don't hide it. Where you tell him, this is where I have an issue. So the Apostle John says that you have fellowship with us, but our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Any Christian who refuses to have a personal time of worship at home by themselves, your capacity is small. That is why when little things happen, you get all antsy and anxious. If I tell you some of my troubles, you wonder why I'm here preaching. Because when the troubles hit, I go before him and I raise my hands. But as I sing to myself, my mind begins to reprogram itself that the things I am dealing with are not bigger than my God. I am still in his arms and I can do to Satan. Reading the Bible does not do that. It is those moments when you are by yourself crying to him, asking him for nothing, but asking him, God, you are my God. I want to see how big you are. And God is going to just let it come to you. So we have many wimpy Christians because we have less Christians who want to have intimacy with God. We like the fellowship. Let's meet and eat together. But John is saying, I'm using the term that you know, but there is something much bigger that I want you to look at. Did you understand what we just did? So with that in mind, now let's delve into the book of 1 John. Intimacy with the Father. The more I have intimacy, the more I build capacity. The more I build capacity, the more my ability to look at my circumstances and say, you haven't changed, but you will not trouble me. Amen. Amen. The book of 1 John only bears the name of the Apostle John just by name, by the title. Most of the time, if you read letters in the New Testament, you will see that the author writes their name in there. This one doesn't have his name. And there's a reason for it. He doesn't have his name because this book was written around AD 85 to 90. The last of the apostles died around AD 75. So the only living apostle at this time was the Apostle John. So he was well known. He didn't need an introduction to introduce himself for the people to know. However, for those who would argue, now, Pastor, you might be wrong, I want to prove it historically. In three ways. Everybody say style, substance, sources. Now, there is a similarity of style. If you read the Gospel of John, there are 10 phrases that are identical between the Gospel of John and 1 John. For example, he says, in the beginning. You all remember that John 1:1 says, in the what? Beginning. Now here in 1 John, he says, that which is from the beginning. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. John 2:15 says, love not the world, nor the things in the world. I can go on and on. He talks about life. He talks about light. He talks about fellowship with God. He talks about witness. I can go. You will see that there is a similarity in style. No two human beings can have the same style. It has to be the same fellow writing things the way he did before. It is believed that John was the youngest of all the apostles. That's where he outlived all of them. Right? We call him the apostle of intimacy because he was so close to Jesus that even when Jesus was dying, he says, John, I commit mama into your hands. It is as if Jesus knew that this would be the last one. He wouldn't die early. And I believe he did know. So because of the style similarity, I do believe it was the Apostle Paul that wrote it. The concept of what I call substance, everybody go back and look at 1 John chapter 1. He talks about himself as a someone who heard Jesus, who saw Jesus, who touched Jesus. He called Jesus the word of life. He says, that which we have heard and seen and looked at and touched the word of life. He says, that is the one I am making known to you. He says, I had fellowship with him. I was so close. I ate with him. I was there. But Pastor, we can see Jesus. Yes, John is saying you can have the same level of intimacy that I had with him because it does not have just to do with a physical proximity. Because it has more to do with the time that you spend in his presence when you are not asking him for a dime, but you are asking to know him. Reveal yourself to me. Unfold yourself to me. Let me come to fully understand who you are. Because when that happens, it is amazing how Satan will get shot. That everything he hits you with, you are still doing nah, 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 nah. Because you are in the arms of your Father. Are you with me today? Are you with me today? Thirdly, most of the church fathers such as Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, Tertullian, all of them agree that it was the Apostle John who wrote 1, 2, and 3 John. So, let me lay a background because if anybody is writing a letter, they always have a reason for doing it. But before I get to the reason, let's try and get a background. Two things. Then I will expand on the two. Number one was, this is AD 85 to 90, meaning Jesus had resurrected and left, all right? And close to about 100 years is happening. So all the excitement around the believers in terms of fire of the Holy Spirit and energy and joy is gradually what? Going down. I want you to see that. So if you look at chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I am writing to you so that your joy will be made what? Complete. Because he's seeing that it is going down. The second thing we find at this time around AD 85 that he's writing is that there was a lot of heresy. Everybody say heresy. Now, there were four heresies. The heresy of what is called the antinomianism, the heresy of mysticism, the heresy of Gnosticism. I will explain them, okay? And the heresy of intellectualism. Pastor, it's not necessary. If you don't understand this, you will not understand the things that John said. You need to understand it. Anti means against, correct? We're going to diversify antinomianism. And then nomianism or nomos means law. For example, the book of Deuteronomy, dito is two, nomos is law. So Deuteronomy means repetition of what? of the law. Antinomianism is against the law. So these were the people who were saying, listen, Jesus has come to die, and everything we are living by grace, and the law and the Old Testament is not important. Because of that, you as a child of God, you can just do anything at all you want. Later on, I will show you how John comes back and says, yeah, it is true, but if you love God, you must obey him. You can't say that the law is passed. The second thing which was heresy running around that day is the concept of mysticism, and it is not gone. It is very high today. What it means is that there was a set of practices and beliefs that was focused on so that people will become close to God. Remember, he's talking about getting close, what? To God. But he's saying that getting close to God is not by the kinds of practices you are involved in. You know how people think that if I fast 40 days, God must come down. Oh, mere mortal, when will you learn? Sometimes out of his mercy, he gives you crumbs. But you cannot manipulate God with your 40 days. And John is not going to only address antinomianism. He's going to address the mysticism. Thirdly, it's what is called the Gnosticism. That the idea that knowledge is the way to salvation. In the Greek, the word Gnostic means knowledge. All right? So you notice that he begins to speak about God is a light. And it's a concept of knowledge. He says, listen, it is not the knowledge of the world. It's the knowledge of who God really what is. I'll come to it. It is important that you understand this. Now, of all the ones I have mentioned, Gnosticism is the notorious one. Because another proposition of Gnosticism is that all physical matter is evil, but spiritual things are good. Therefore, it presumes that Jesus was what is called a phantom spirit. In other words, Jesus never showed up in the flesh. But did Jesus actually show up in the flesh? That is why John begins the book by saying, that which I have seen, he is not a phantom spirit. I handled him. I touched him. That is the one I'm saying I had fellowship with. And now we all can what? Have fellowship with. And finally, he talks about the concept of intellectualism, which is everything must be rational. And many Christians are very rational. They are either very rational or very spiritual. They don't know how to balance the two. There has to be a proper balance of the two. If your marriage is going down on rocks, you make a rational decision of doing the things that are necessary to correct it. You can't put it all on demons. Because it's not demons who are doing what you are doing. Did you understand what I just said? If at the place of work, your supervisor says, if you don't lift up your weight, you will get fired. And you decide, I am just only going to pray, but still behave the same way, you will be fired. And you'll be in my office asking, Pastor, is it a generational curse? Child, the last time I checked, ain't no generational curse. It is the idea that you are lazy. So intellectualism had not left the system. And the Apostle John is tackling all these issues. So let's begin the journey. Right, he addresses a problem. And the problem, number one, was the problem of sin. You remember how he says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive your heart? Yeah, many of us quoted, but I want you to understand the basis of it. Because it is those who were into the Gnostic idea that says that all physical things are evil. It is only the spiritual. So whatever you do in the natural, even if it's sinful, it doesn't matter. John says, you are committing sin. And if you say you have no sin, you are what? You're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, he says he is what? Faithful and just. For those who were talking about antinomianism against law, notice that 1 John chapter 2 from verse 3. He says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So he's saying, law. You guys are saying that it's past. It's not past. It's still there. And I can go on and on throughout the book and show you. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 22. He says, and receive from him anything we ask because we keep keep his commandments and do what pleases him. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 3. In fact, this is the love of God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Are you guys seeing what is happening here? So John raises the problem of sin, and he addresses it because he's dealing with those heresies. And then secondly, he addresses the problem of what? Commandments. Thirdly, he addresses the problem of Antichrist, people who will come and they will deceive many. He looks at it in two ways. He talks about one Antichrist or many Antichrists. Everybody say many. 1 John chapter 2, let me read verse 11. Please, I am laying a foundation. In the coming weeks, we will start taking sections and we will delve into it. So you understand what the apostle was trying to communicate. Are you 1 John chapter 2, verse 11? He says, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has what? Has blinded them. He talks about the Antichrist. The word anti in ordinary English simply means against. But in biblical literature, when you look at it from the Greek context, it is not just about against, but it is also in place of. So he says, we know about the one Antichrist who will come at the end of all ages, right? To come and deceive people. But right now, there are many Antichrists already. People who have put themselves in place of Christ. Because the one Antichrist will be against Christ. But the ones we are having now, they are putting themselves, what? In place of Christ. So we see that he deals with the problem of sin, the problem of commandment, the problem of Antichrist. Then he talks about the problem of continued sin. Because those who says everything physical doesn't matter. Right? So whatever you do with your flesh, doesn't matter. So you can fornicate. Doesn't matter. What matters is the spirit. And John is saying because of that, and the Christians have heard these things, they started committing sin anyhow in the church. So he addressed the problem of habitual or continued sin. If you listen to it very well, I think it's in 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 18. He says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Anyone born of God does not continue to what? One who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one does not touch them. Anyone born of God cannot continue to sin. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 6. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has ever seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does sinful things is of the devil. These are very strong words, but he's dealing with heresy and he needs to correct it. Amen. Are you learning anything? I'm just doing an overview of the entire book. And finally, he talks about the problem of relationship with other believers. He said, how do you say that God that you haven't seen with your eyes, you love him, when you cannot love the person sitting next to you? He says, you got to be kidding me. And this, he was directing it at those who were involved in mysticism. If I confess, you know, and move the hand of God, if I can just walk in so much purity. Purity is important. Basidos purity is what he's saying, don't be engaged in, because you can't say you love God who you cannot see with your eyes. And then the person who sits next to you, you don't like him. So I believe that John is really confronting all of us. Don't you think? We are going to read four verses to establish the purpose, because John tells us why he wrote the book. All right? The first one is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. He outlines four reasons why he writes. Based on the background and the problems he raised, he says, there's a problem of sin, there's a problem of commandment, there's a problem of the Antichrist, there's a problem of habitual sin and the relationship with other believers. So here is why I am writing to you.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.